From the studios of WEKU on the campus of Eastern Kentucky University, it is time for Eastern Standard. Hello, I am John Hingsbergen. Well, Eastern Kentucky University and the other universities, probably every school in the Commonwealth of Kentucky, has been shut down this past week, and that's not likely to change for the most part before the weekend. Today, we've invited Eastern Kentucky University President Michael Benson to join us. He's a regular guest on our program, but not often enough. And so we thought, you're not doing anything this week. We're going to find out what President Benson is doing, but we thought that perhaps he'd be available because his schedule is probably slammed as all of ours. Dr. Michael Benson, thanks for being with us.
My pleasure, John. I brought the sled dogs over here this morning, and we made it.
Of course, the big question on my mind is, what have you been doing all week besides sending out notices to campus and interacting with the university officials?
Well, this was, I was in the office yesterday, and somebody from Jana Weiss's office, our provost, came over and said, of all the weeks to have this happen, this was probably one of the worst. We had Sandra McGuire, a nationally renowned specialist on pedagogy and teaching, coming to campus tomorrow. A bunch of people had subscribed to come to her presentations. I had a whole bunch of meetings scheduled. I still have a meeting scheduled tomorrow in Frankfurt for a commission I'm on K through 16 education. So there's never a good time. But this week in particular, there was a lot going on campus. And I have to say at the outset, I am so proud of the way the community has rallied, the way the students have stepped up. Our facilities folks have been unbelievable. I've been on campus every day just to check on things. And they have been here around the clock. And while a lot of us were at home with families and trying to dig out of our own driveways, these very, very dedicated folks were here trying to dig out residence halls and helping out students get their cars out. And it's tough. I mean, today, as you know, is just unbelievably cold, record cold. So the snowfall on top of the cold on top of all the snowfall has made things very, very challenging. But still in all, I want to kind of throw out a huge shout out to all of our campus personnel that have worked so hard to try and keep the campus safe.
President Michael Benson of Eastern Kentucky University with us for this week's Eastern Standard. And perhaps you have a question, a comment, a story you'd like to tell about how you have been dealing with the week's winter weather on campus here or elsewhere. You are invited to send us an email to wekueasternstandard@gmail.com. Tweet us at WEKUEST. Or pick up the phone and call 800-621-8890. Producer Logan Riley is standing by to take your call, 800-621-8890. So, Dr. Benson, with a situation such as this week's, when did you first become aware of the fact that the weather was going to pretty well close down the university? And what is the process in terms of making that decision, and who makes that call?
Well, there's kind of a team of three with input from a lot of others, but it's Jana Weiss, our provost, Barry Pointer, our VP for Finance and Administration, and myself. And we monitor reports from local agencies, the county, with regard to roads. I talked to Elmer Thomas, the superintendent of Madison County, on a regular basis. I talked to him yesterday to kind of find out what they're doing. I text back and forth to my friend Wayne Andrews at Moorhead to find out what they're doing. We monitor what they're doing at UK and other places, but we have to make a decision that's best for our situation. Every school is unique. Every situation is unique. But Jana, Barry, and I were on the phone with each other and texting back and forth on Sunday night. I was home with my family, and the kids were out of school on Monday because of President's Day. Of course, campus was scheduled to be open, but we kept hearing this kind of mother of all storms was on the way. And when we finally made the call, I'm really glad that we did when we did because, of course, trying to get to campus on Monday would have been incredibly treacherous. And then as it continued to get worse and the snow did not dissipate, and in fact it accumulated even more, and then, of course, the cold temperatures, we had to make a decision yesterday what we were going to do. As you know, on Tuesday we had made the decision to open up at noon on Wednesday. But as things kind of worsened, we made the call later that night to go ahead and just close campus on Wednesday. Yesterday, it was a matter of it's going to be so cold, and it's going to be so difficult for particularly our commuter students to try and make their way in from outlying areas. And yet, bear in mind, too, John, we have a lot of faculty and staff that have to drive in from outlying areas in our regional campuses. David McFadden, of course, keeps us posted on what's going on in places like Manchester and Corbin and Somerset and Danville. So there are a lot of kind of moving parts, but we try our best to make the best informed decision at the best possible time in a way that we can get the word out to people and forewarn them in far in advance.
Is there a formula? Is there a list? If this, that you use to determine whether to close the university?
No, I mean, I wish it were more science than art, but it's kind of an amalgam, if you will, of a lot of different things. Again, the best information we have available at the time, and sometimes you just have to go on gut. And I'm really glad that we had enough information to, we think, make the best call. In my email out to yesterday to the faculty and staff and students, I apologize to the faculty because they're the ones that, of course, the staff, and I'm part of the staff, our job is to create an environment where our students can learn, and everybody pitches in and creates that classroom environment. But the ones that are impacted are the faculty that have syllabi and course schedules to follow, and this puts them back a week. We do have some days kind of built into our schedule already. And I made that point in my note yesterday that it may take some additional instruction days during finals week to make up that time. But
I know K through 12 schools have legal requirements that they have to make up a certain number of days if they miss. But I guess that would not be an issue at a university, just a matter of having the time to get through the curriculum?
Well, you have to have a certain number of instruction days or, you know, hours for a certain credit hour course, for example. Mm-hmm. And that is impacted certainly by requirements of accreditation and so forth. So we're very cognizant of the fact that you have to have a certain number of days for, let's say, 3 or 4 credit course during the course of the semester. So we've tried to build in some days as well, but it's more art than science. I mean, to kind of circle back to your original question, and we tried to make the best decision that we could.
Eastern Kentucky University President Michael Benson is with us for this week's Eastern Standard live on this Thursday morning. 800-621-8890, the number you are invited and welcome to call with a question or a comment for Dr. Benson. You can send us an email, wekueasternstandard@gmail.com, or send a tweet at wekuest. Last time you were on the show, Dr. Benson, we had an email from Isaac D'Souza saying, "Tell Benson hi." I got another one of those today, and our listeners won't see this. But he says, "Also, I made this small but awesome snowman in his honor," which is it's just a pile of it's kind of like almost a pile of snow, of snow with a couple of sticks, pencils coming out of it. Actually, that's a tiny snowman, I think. 800-621-8890. We'd be interested in hearing your substantive questions or comments for President Benson. Now, very serious topic. Just last week, the university was dealing with another type of an emergency, and we're planning to do an Eastern Standard show. At the moment, we're planning to do the program next week about the terroristic threat that occurred on campus. And I know you, Dr. Benson, had to make some decisions about that and coordinate with safety organizations. And one of the things going on as a transition was the issue of the rave alerting system. Mm-hmm. Looks like that was called into play this week related to the weather as well. Can you talk a little bit about that?
Yeah, I think most everybody knows kind of what happened in the sequence of events. The challenge we faced was this was kind of new territory for us. I mean, you remember, I'm sure our students do from their high school days, that kids would, as pranks, call in bomb threats or whatever, which is certainly a very serious thing. And I would certainly discourage anyone from even considering an action like that. But for us to have something scrawled in the stall of a bathroom in the Comas building put us in a position where we had to make a decision what we were going to do and to try and do the very, very best possible thing given the circumstances. So we had kind of an A-team, if you will, with Brian Mackinnon, our director of public safety, our chief of police, our president's counsel. We met on a regular basis when we first discovered the threat. We made the call about not having class on that Wednesday, the Friday before. And that's when I sent out my kind of campus-wide email talking about how, first and foremost, our responsibility is to create a safe environment where students can learn, teachers can teach, our advisors can advise, our staff can serve. And if you can't do that, then everything else really is in effect, secondary. And we were put in a position where we just could not guarantee the safety of our students given the threat. Now, was it a a false threat? Was it just something that somebody put out there because they didn't want to go to class? There's no way to know. There's no way to ascertain exactly what it was, but we had to take it as seriously as we possibly could.
Now, that message was left, for lack of a better term, in a very passive manner, right? Just putting it on the back of a bathroom stall. It's not like it was a letter sent to somebody, not like an email, not like some kind of a notice. Hey, no, it could have been just some kind of somebody frustrated and upset.
Exactly.
Just like other bathroom graffiti.
Right. And I first learned about it on the Tuesday. Somebody came in, my assistant Deidre came in and showed me an image of it. And someone had taken a picture of it. And then once that happens, of course, it goes out in the social media. So people knew what it said. We certainly put our kind of detective team on it to try and find out who did it and why. We still don't have, we have a few leads, but still no kind of conclusion to the situation. But we had to make a decision then as to what we were going to do. So it was a series of days, meetings, information that we tried to glean and gather when we finally made the decision on that Friday that we were going to close campus on Wednesday.
Media, of course, WEKU covered the story because it was a story, but area media covered it. How do you feel about that media coverage, and how do you feel the university fared in terms of that coverage in its reputation in handling this matter?
Well, I didn't answer part of your previous question, which was about the RAVE system. And our intent was to try and get as many people, particularly students, signed up for RAVE, which is, an electronic kind of disbursement of information system. And we enticed them to do that through the free T-shirts. I did get some criticism that some thought we were selling the T-shirts and taking advantage of the situation. That was not the case at all. Kind of on the contrary, we tried to have, a rallying point around which our campus could say, hey, we're not going to be cowed by these sorts of actions. And the EKU United, the EKU Strong, shirts that kind of popped up everywhere, I think sent a message that we really did rally, and I'm really proud of the reaction of everybody.
We're going to take a short break and get right back to EKU President Michael Benson on this week's Eastern Standard. WEKU Eastern Standard is our email address. Send us a tweet at WEKUEST. Give us a call. Phone lines wide open for you to interact with President Benson. A question, a comment, your reaction to how the university's handled the weather or last week's potential terroristic threat. 800-621-8890. That's 800-621-8890. Had threats. Don't play that piece of music. I think it's from parents of young children, but I thought it was very appropriate for President Michael Benson as we're talking about the winter weather and the university being closed. And I mean, you came in from Utah, and look what happened to Kentucky. All of a sudden, we're hit with a almost historic snowstorm.
Yeah, people ask, did you think you're moving to Minnesota? You know, the difference between here and there is the cold, you feel it here, really, with the humidity. But also, we had the infrastructure in Utah with snow removal equipment and the fact that we've got so much snow. I mean, we were at 6,000 feet elevation, so we're accustomed to that. But, you know, still in all, I'm proud of the way that people have handled it here.
Eastern Kentucky University President Michael Benson is with us for this week's Eastern Standard on WEKU, 800-621-8890. We think the phone lines are working. Give us a call, 800-621-8890. Or you can send us an email, wekueasternstandard@gmail.com. And Dr. Benson, we were talking briefly about the RAVE alerting system. one of the things I heard, and you commented about, that of all of the thousands of members of the campus community, there were only like 3,000 signed up for that emergency alerting system?
Correct, and that was not a ratio we were comfortable with. And obviously we can't force anybody to do anything, but the idea was to get as many people subscribed to it so they could have these alerts as possible. And it worked. We'll continue to put the word out, and you can go on our website and sign up voluntarily. But the idea is to get alerts to students, faculty, and staff about closures, about any safety issues, and to do it in as efficacious a way as possible.
And back to the issue of the terroristic threat. What's happening on campus going forward as a result of that incident? What will change? What has changed? What will be better about EKU as a result of that communal activity or event?
Well, I would focus on two things. The first is that I certainly hope all of us will continue to remain vigilant. I was in New York City several months ago and rode the subway, and they have all these placards on the subway. If you see something, say something. So if there's something that anybody sees that is suspicious, I'm not talking about creating an environment where people feel like it's George Orwell, 1984, or, you know, Big Brother's looking over your shoulder, but we live in a society and an environment today where we do have to be vigilant, and we do have to, if there is something that looks a little out of place or abnormal, that we do let authorities know. So I certainly hope that people will be a little more attuned to the fact that we all have to pitch in and be a little more cognizant of our surroundings and what's going on around us. The second thing, this happened before I got here, but I understand that UK had put in, I think, $5 or $6 million worth of closed circuit TVs and cameras and that sort of thing. We're looking at putting some cameras in buildings throughout campus just as a way to try and monitor a little bit better. It is an expensive undertaking, but we do need to look at ways that we can continue to make campus safer. You may have seen some of the call boxes around campus that have the yellow tape around them.
I've seen a number of them.
Yeah, Barry Pointer, our VP, and I talked about it the other day. We had some problems with the technology, and we're replacing all those, we hope, in the next just few days, few weeks.
It was older cell phone technology.
It was. Mm-hmm. And we're replacing that with much more up-to-date. So we'll continue to put infrastructure in place. Infrastructure can only do so much. And so, again, I go back to my first point. We really have to rely on each other to make our campus feel safer.
While we're talking infrastructure, if I can get it out this morning with President Michael Benson of Eastern Kentucky University, let's talk about capital projects on campus. A new science building construction has started. There are a number of other major things underway. First of all, have any of them been impacted by the snow? And why don't you give us an update on what's going on?
I drove by Tuesday, the science building, and the tractors weren't moving quite as rapidly as they had in the past. One of our chemistry faculty, her office overlooks the construction site, and every day she hears those pylons getting hammered down on the ground, and you can hear it kind of ringing through campus. So we have several things kind of in the works. People will hear more about it in the coming weeks and months in terms of a revitalization plan that we have that will really, I believe, impact for years and years to come our campus in a positive way if we can make it work. But the one that we're focusing on right now, of course, is the science building. It's on schedule. It's on budget. We're considering also what we're going to put forward next year for our request to the state for a new facility. The model lab school replacement is something that we're going to ask for an appropriation. But that is through public education, not on the higher ed list. On the higher ed list, we have some other priorities as well. But you're going to continue to see improvements here and there. The new pedestrian gate, I talked to the architect yesterday, and we're going to begin construction on that in April. And we hope that's going to be done in time for the fall semester, official ribbon cutting around homecoming.
A new pedestrian gate?
Yeah, pedestrian entryway from Barnes Mill. When Barnes Mill hits Lancaster, where Combs Hall used to be, that's down now. And we're just working on the final design, but construction on that will begin in April once the tundra unfreezes and thaws out a little bit. Again, the signage around campus, you'll continue to see improvements there. We're trying to look at how we can improve the ravine We're looking at ways that we can continue to improve our housing inventory. We were approved last session for $75 million worth of public-private partnership money is what we're calling it, where a private developer will use some of our property to build some residence halls for us, and we're looking at ways we can take advantage of that and where the best locations will be for those projects. So there's an RFP out right now for a firm to help us with a overall campus master plan. And as we select that firm, we intend to have both on-campus meetings in the community to elicit input from community members as to what they would like to see. How can EKU interface even better with the downtown Richmond area and with kind of our Richmond community writ large? So, stay tuned, but it's some exciting projects in the offing.
Eastern Kentucky University President Michael Benson with us for this week's Eastern Standard. Our email address, wekueasternstandard@gmail.com. You can send us a tweet at WEKUEST or pick up the phone and call 800-621-8890. Very frequently in our program, we don't get calls or listener interaction till the second half hour of the show, which we're about to get into here. And listeners may recognize that pattern, that we usually like to have some time for interaction and for interview for the first part of the program. But please feel free to jump on board right now. We're here for you to make President Benson accessible to you. Already a very accessible president on campus, and we're hoping to make that even more so by his regular visits to WEKU. 800-621-8890, WEKU Eastern Standard at gmail.com. Just crossed my mind, another issue of President Benson related to the snow that came out there. The Twitterverse was a buzz the other day that you were shoveling a student's driveway.
Yeah, I wish there was a lot more planning that had gone into this, but it was kind of organic.
The cameras weren't there, I don't think.
Oh, no. I'll tell you exactly what happened. I think it was Tuesday. I was out trying to dig out our own driveway, and students kept peppering me with tweets about, is campus closed tomorrow? I can't get my car out. I can't get out of my driveway. One student even offered me $25 to come and shovel his driveway, and I'm not going to take money from anybody to do that. But this one particular student, Devin Danley, who lives down in Berea, said, hey, I'll tell you what, if you come shovel my driveway, I'll come to class. So I thought, I want to see the look on his face when I show up at his house. And so I tweeted him back, what's your address? He told me. I'm headed down to Berea while I'm driving. Of course, I'm driving and focusing on that, but I get a text from my friend Chris Ratcliffe, who lives in Berea. And Chris said, that's my very street in Berea, and I live seven doors down. I'll come help you. So I came up the street. I knock on the door. Devin's mother, Tanda, who's one of our graduates in social work, opens the door and just about fell off the porch. I said, I'm here to shovel your driveway because your son said that he would come to class tomorrow. And she couldn't believe it. He was actually running some errands for his mother with his sister.
She thought, gosh, our tuition payments get this?
Full service president. So anyway, Chris shows up. We both knock it out in about 45 minutes. Tanda comes back outside, says, Devin's so appreciative, and my daughter, Danelle, that they want to buy you dinner. So they brought Casa Fiesta, and we went inside after the project was done and had a nice meal together. And to his credit, even though we didn't have class on Wednesday, Devin tweeted out yesterday a selfie of him in class sitting by himself saying, hey, I kept my end of the deal. So, it's a connection I made with a student that otherwise I may not have done. And just to see the look on his mom's face was worth the drive to Berea.
Another tweet that I saw mentioned EKU's awesome president. He shoveled the student's driveway and saved a cat and protected the university from tragedies this week. And
well, I responded to that last night that the cat story is a complete fabrication. I did not save a cat, but I've tried to do some other things.
We have an email for President Michael Benson, and the email address, wekueasternstandard@gmail.com. By the way, the phone line still open, 800-621-8890, a number of lines open, so there's certainly one open for you if you call right now, 800-621-8890. This one comes from Kathy and Mike, I believe it is. I'm a graduate of EKU and long-term resident of Richmond. And my mom worked for EKU for 25 years. I want to thank you and your staff for your leadership at EKU and all the development going on. It is great for our students and our broader community. My question, not nearly as important as the recent threat and the weather, deals with traffic. Many times I drive through campus at late hours, early hours, and in the summer only to get held up at a traffic light. A Richmond resident, no doubt, would be aware of that. I will wait until it changes, even though there are no cars anywhere around. One can be forced to stop at a light at 7 a.m. on a Sunday morning in July when there's nearly no one on campus. Is it possible to have sensors to regulate this so drivers don't wait needlessly? This would save a lot of time, gas, decrease emissions, and lower the frustration levels of all concerned. Or could we set the lights to flash on the low traffic times? This is, again, Mike and Kathy York of Richmond writing to President Benson.
Well, Mike and Kathy, thank you for your note. I've had the same problem. I pulled out of the Center for the Arts one time and tried to cross the bypass. And I kid you not, I probably waited for 12, 15 minutes at that light. We need to work with KDOT, the Department of Transportation. It's part of our overall campus master plan, too, about traffic flow. And our plan is to try and push a little more of the vehicular traffic to the perimeter of campus. But lights and timers and sensors are part of that. And that's not the first time I've heard it. We're trying to, you know, I'll give you one example. As you come down from this building, from Perkins, and try and cross the bypass over by Roy Kidd Stadium, we put a petition to KDOT to change the lanes to make it a little more easily and a little more easy to get through and a little more passable. And it took a little time, but we finally got that worked out. So it's a matter of working with state agencies, local agencies, and certainly traffic engineers will be involved, but we'll continue to improve that and work on it.
And no question too trivial, if it's of some substance for President Michael Benson, give us a call, 800-621-8890. Send an email, as Mike and Kathy did, to wekueasternstandard@gmail.com. As a university employee, someone who's on campus 6-7 days a week, I certainly appreciate the issue that they raised about the traffic lights. I think there may be some of the longest traffic lights on the planet right here in Richmond, Kentucky. 800-621-8890, wekueasternstandard@gmail.com. New tennis courts were built. And last time you're here with us, President Benson, a couple of months ago, talking about this portion. I don't know what do we call this portion of the campus over by the College of Justice and Safety in the Perkins Building, but there are new tennis courts that have been built among the capital projects underway. I guess those courts will get their tryout for the first time in the spring.
We'll certainly see how well they do. It was a local grant. Concrete that helped build those, and they're very, very good. And we just have to wait for the good weather to settle in, and we'll stripe those. And once those are done, then we'll go and take out the existing tennis courts along Lancaster and begin the construction of the Carl Loftus Garden. So, yes, I'm not sure we have a name for this part of campus, but...
the WEKU side.
That's right. the new courts are, of course, just adjacent to the Adams Tennis Center, which is very nice for both of our men's and women's teams to have it right there close by.
800-621-8890, wekueasternstandard@gmail.com. President Michael Benson here on Thursday morning live to interact with our listeners, those who are members of the EKU campus community and beyond. WEKU, of course, serving a large portion of central and southeastern Kentucky. So wherever you happen to be, please feel free to get on board with your question. 800-621-8890. Now, Dr. Benson, you talked about funds for the new science building and some other capital projects. Anything going on with this year's short legislative session? I know last year was the biennial budget year for the General Assembly, but on what issues is EKU interacting with our representatives this year?
Well, first off, we continue to stay in touch with both Senator Carpenter and Representative Smart. We're very fortunate to have two local representatives that care very deeply about the university and are very committed to supporting us. We're actually taking our board back up there on the 25th. Last year was the first time a board of regents or trustees had gone en masse to the legislature and made an appearance both on the floor of the House and the Senate, met with various legislative leaders. We're going to do the same thing again this year, take the board back up there, meet with various committee chair people and members of leadership. As a way to have a presence there, David McFadden, of course, kind of keeps me apprised of what's happening. I haven't spent as much time up there this year as I did last. Certainly with the budget session, we were up there a lot. But we continue to monitor legislation. They're talked about opening back up the budget so UK can get a new building and possibly the idea of bonding for to shore up the pension system. Not sure how we feel about that, because if you bond for all that money for the pension system, that would really hamstring us moving forward in terms of what we can do with capital projects in the future. But I'm not sure what that debate is. I know it came out of the House. We'll see what the Senate does with it. But we continue to kind of keep abreast of what's happening up there. I'll be up there again tomorrow on Friday for some meetings. But we're very lucky to have members of the General Assembly that look out for higher education, and none more so than the last session when they bonded for all those projects for each campus. And the science building for us was just a huge addition to our undergraduate education. And we hope that next year we'll be able to get some more projects as well.
We're due to take another short break, and I don't want to open a major question here, but we'll come back to it. But the issues of, you talked about interacting with the president of Morehead State University and other college presidents related to the winter weather and so forth. Are there some other collaborations underway or some new things going on across the Commonwealth that cause the schools to work together?
I don't know if you saw this, but just last week we signed a memorandum of understanding where we're going to offer OSHA safety out in Western Kentucky in partnership with Western Kentucky University. That's a good example. Of course, we have other partnerships. Wayne and I from Morehead State have talked about ways we could partner, particularly as it relates to SOAR and the fact that we have a presence, both of us, in Eastern Kentucky. And are there ways that we could link up? I was out in Ashland just 10 days ago looking at ways that we could partner with a two-year college out there with our aviation program. So we can talk more about that as well.
EKU President Michael Benson with us for this week's Eastern Standard for another 20 minutes, 800-621-8890 on Thursday morning. The line is open. You can send an email, wekueasternstandard@gmail.com.
Up in the morning and out to school. The teacher is teaching the golden rule. American history and practical math. You study them hard and hoping to pass. Working your fingers right down to the bone. And the guy behind you won't leave you alone.
Not much academic work or study. We assume, Dr. Benson, that there's a lot of studying going on campus, despite the fact that classes are not meeting. President Michael Benson of Eastern Kentucky University with us for this week's Eastern Standard. And actually, that back to the winter weather, how many students are actually on campus as we speak on this Thursday morning? Did a lot of people go home because of the weather, or were they unable to do so?
I heard from many students that because the plows had come in, and obviously our plows try their best to direct the snow to places where cars or people aren't, but sometimes you have to put it in places, and some students have had a hard time getting their vehicles out of lots. We have, 6,000 beds on campus, so at any given time you have that many students that will be here, or if they choose to go home. There's no way to really kind of monitor that right now, but still in all, we've tried to keep the food, EKU dining open. Aramark has been a great partner in keeping Powell open. The library has been open from 10 to 6 the last couple of days. I went in there yesterday, and there weren't too many students in there, but still I want to thank our crews that are in there that are keeping the library open so students can study. We've had some discussions about some other kind of minimal services that we can make available to students through the weekend.
The fitness center's open?
Fitness center's open, and we're talking about a possible activity tonight, so stay tuned.
President Michael Benson with us for this week's Eastern Standard. We're live on Thursday morning. The show, of course, repeats on Sunday evening, so if you happen to be listening then, you've missed your opportunity to call in. Likewise, the show is available as a podcast from the WEKU website at weku.fm. Winter weather, the terroristic threat on campus, construction going on the Eastern Kentucky University campus. What is on your mind? What question have you wanted to get answered, whether you're a student, a parent, a member of the Richmond community, or the wider Eastern Kentucky, Central Kentucky region? 800-621-8890. You can send us an email, wekueasternstandard@gmail.com. This is the time of the show when people begin to call in, so we'd be interested in hearing from you and get your voice on the radio, 800-621-8890. So, President Benson, what else is going on? What else is on your mind this time of the year? We're actually well into the spring semester, and despite the weather, it's not the end of the term is not all that far away. What's on your mind for the end of this academic year and next year? Any plans? Anything new happening next year?
Well, we tried this year to coincide our spring break to align with the school district to see how that would work. So many families have students in both places, both employees, faculty, and also students. It pushed it back later than usual. Next year, we'll go back to our own kind of designated date. But we wanted to try it out this year, see how it worked. I've gotten some feedback, both good and bad, from people, how they feel about it. But the fact is we are well into the spring semester, although it doesn't really feel like spring at all. We are having a graduation outside this year in May, and Tina Davis, our registrar, came to see me a few days ago about some plans relative to that. So details will be forthcoming, but it's going to be, I think, a great celebration in a way that we've never done it before, in a way that the entire university community can come together in one place, and then have the individual college convocations where the students can interact much more with their faculty and their advisors and their parents and have a chance to meet them at the individual colleges that will be held around campus.
You mentioned, Dr. Benson, this year's commencement happening outside made me think about, I wonder if the snow mountains will be gone by then. And it also reminds me of a conversation I was having with another broadcaster the other day where a radio station elsewhere in the state is having a little competition, a little contest with listeners, asking them to guess when the snow mountains in their community will disappear. I assume there are gigantic mountains and hills of snow on the EKU campus right now. Are there plans for, removal? What happens to that snow when it's plowed and moved around? Is it just sit there till it melts?
I think it's probably just going to sit there until it melts. Now, I checked the forecast. It's supposed to rain on Saturday, which would be a good thing to help melt some of that and get rid of it. But, I look at the folks up in the Northeast in Boston, and our little hills are quite small compared to the big mountains they've got in places in the Northeast. But still in all, I'll have to talk to Dave Williams and our facilities folks about their plans to remove some of these hills. As you know, they're blocking some of our parking spaces, and our antenna is trying to get rid of as many as we possibly can.
800-621-8890, our number for President Michael Benson. He has made his way to the WEKU studios, despite the fact that the campus is closed, and it's not all that easy to get in and out of the building where we're located at the moment. One of the reasons the university is closed down for the rest of the week. But you're welcome to interact with President Benson by calling 800-621-8890. Email us, wekueasternstandard@gmail.com. Other issues on the minds of folks thinking about the academic institutions and universities, tuition, for instance. So where do we stand in terms of tuition? Will there be tuition increases in the next academic term?
Well, the Council on Postsecondary Education has the responsibility of setting tuition. This last year, they set a two-year cap on tuition. So they said over a two-year period, you can't exceed 8%. We went up 5% last year, so our intent, unless something dramatically changes, is to probably do a 3% increase. We'll wait and see how things shake up. We obviously, every quarter, we monitor very closely the revenues for the state and the implications that's going to have for our budget. But we will have what we call a truth in tuition hearing. We're required to do that, where we spell out very clearly for students, if tuition is raised, where does that money go? What is it paying for? And we'll have one of those, a forum on that just here in the next few days on campus once we open back up. We're very cognizant of the fact that costs continue to go up. Higher ed, if you look at it, tuition at college campuses across the country has far exceeded any other kind of price or of anything, a commodity or service or anything, over the last 20 to 25 years. And I am very, very cognizant of that. And we're very sensitive to the fact that we are the school of opportunity and we need to remain that, to have open access to students that want the opportunity to have that transformative power of education in their lives. So we'll continue to focus on scholarships and need-based aid and making sure our students can get through the system of Pell Grants and Stafford loans and everything else that it takes these days to pay for an education. But I will say this, an investment in one's education, I would argue, just like Benjamin Franklin did over 200 years ago, pays the best dividend. It is the best investment anybody can make is the power of education.
We had a call. Stephanie from Lexington didn't want to stay on the line, and actually her question was a very WEKU-focused, but I think I'll just toss it out to you, President Benson. She is interested in WEKU getting enough money to repair radio towers to improve signal reliability, signal strength and reliability. She mentioned the RAVE system and said the radio could be used similarly for safety updates. And I'm a little shy about even asking that question, but I know, I mean, the demands on capital funds and other funds for the campus. How do you perceive the value of this public radio station? And are there, I don't even know how to ask the question. Are there ways that the university can help the station improve aging transmitters that are sometimes failing? We had a failure a couple of weeks ago where the signal was down, reduced quite a bit, and I think that's probably what she's referring to.
No, I mean, and I'm not just blowing smoke at you here, John, because I'm sitting here, but I get more comments from people about in Lexington and surrounding areas that listen to WEKU as their primary source for news, and it provides such an incredibly valuable service to our community. So I'm more than happy to sit down with you and Roger and others and look at your needs and see if we can help, because there are not too many campuses around that have a public radio station that emanates right from the campus. I think we're maybe a part of a really small group in the United States.
It's a somewhat decreasing community because of the pressures, the financial pressures faced by universities. So just speaking as program director and assistant manager, we're grateful for the support that we receive from Eastern Kentucky University. And speaking to Stephanie, we're obviously in communication with the university administration on matters of that type. But we also know that, there's always that balance between the academic program and the outreach of this type. We still have time for you to speak with President Michael Benson of Eastern Kentucky University, 800-621-8890. You can send an email, WEKU Eastern Standard, or at gmail.com, or write a tweet at WEKUEST. The show will be archived and available for listening online, but it also will be rebroadcast on Sunday evening. And unavoidably, every Sunday evening, we'll find there are a couple of phone calls, the people trying to call into the Thursday morning show. So this is your opportunity for another 10 minutes, 800-621-8890, if you have a question or comment for Eastern Kentucky University President Michael Benson. Changes in university branding have been underway. Actually, WEKU reports to the newly formed Department of Marketing and Communications with Vice President Scott Kaysen. President Benson, what can you say about marketing efforts and branding efforts and other communication efforts happening by Eastern Kentucky University?
Well, two things I'll say. I think first, internally, I think we've done a really nice job getting our brand out there. We've paid a lot of attention to the social media, the platforms that are out there, being much more, I would say, intentional and aggressive in using these various media that are out there in a way to tell our stories. So at EKU Builds on Twitter, at EKU Stories on Twitter, are ways that we can communicate with students in a way that they use much more than old kind of forms of transmission. The second thing, you may have read that we just hired an agency out of Lexington called Bullhorn that's known for kind of being very kind of forward-thinking and in some ways a little bit edgy, and they have some EKU graduates that work for them. We're very excited about that partnership, and you'll see even more as we roll out new messaging, new promotion of our brand, a way that I think is going to resonate even more with the younger generation. And we also hope will also honor our past. We have a rich tradition and a rich history, which, by the way, and this is somewhat sideways, but I'm now president number, I'm number 13. I'm not 12 anymore. That's what Doug Whitlock.
Oh, yeah. I wanted to congratulate you on succeeding yourself.
Always call me 12, but I'm now 13. The board officially acknowledged Mary Rourke, who was the president for over a year when her husband passed away, and signed the first batch of diplomas for Eastern back in 1909, 1910. And we felt it was long overdue to recognize her as the second president. So in March, we're going to have an official ceremony where her portrait will be unveiled over in Keene Johnson. We're going to invite members of her family to be here for that ceremony.
With the marketing and communications efforts, are there ways for EKU to grow in its prominence or its service in central and southeastern Kentucky? The campus seems to be operating at, what, pretty much capacity at the moment?
Yeah, I said at my inauguration.
The main campus in Richmond.
Yeah, exactly. We obviously have satellite campuses that serve their areas very, very well, and we need to do even better. As I said at my inauguration, Eastern Kentucky University describes who we are, where we are, but it does not necessarily define where or who we are. I would say that we're a brand that goes well beyond Madison County. And we have a service area that we try and pay close attention to, but we also have both a national and, we hope, an international presence. And my primary job is to make sure that diploma that hangs on students' walls, graduates' walls, every year goes up in value, that they value even more their experience at EKU, and that the reputation of the university continues on this inexorable path toward even more notoriety and acclaim.
I mean, there are always adjustments being made to curriculum, to academic programs, and so forth. Any new areas being discussed at this point?
Well, we're looking at ways that we can do even better the things that we do well. One I'll use as an example is our aviation program. And I mentioned my trip out to Ashland. We're looking at the regional airports that are out there that are in some ways co-located or adjacent to community colleges, where we could do what's called a 2+2. So a student can stay in Ashland, Kentucky for 2 years, go to the community college there, get their generals done, and the additional 2 years they can stay out there, but we can take the program to them and they can graduate with a bachelor's degree from Eastern in our aviation program. That's one example of how we're trying to be a little more aggressive in promoting that particular program. We're also looking at ways that we can fit needs in the Commonwealth. You know, the SOAR initiative and the idea that they want to focus more on tourism and ways that you can develop in Eastern Kentucky the economies in a way that is even better and more sustainable. And we're looking to fill some of those niches with some of our unique programs. So we'll continue to look very, very aggressively at what we have, but also do well, do better the things that we do do well.
Mike and Kathy, who emailed us earlier, followed up with another question. Any thoughts on pedestrianizing? I don't know if that that's a word. University Drive. It's one of the most beautiful areas of our community, and the cars can be a drag on University Drive.
Well, I'm glad they brought that up because that was one thing that I've been trying to focus on. The problem with the cars that are parked there is that they block the view of the ravine. And if we could somehow make that into a much more pedestrian-friendly kind of promenade, if you will, that's one of the things that we're considering. So, Mike and Kathy, you and I are of like minds on that particular issue.
Let's talk to Lorna. And this is Lorna is from Berea, an alum. Lorna, thanks for calling. You're on with President Michael Benson.
Hi. I'm an alum twice, 76 with a bachelor's and 77 with a master's. And my brother is also a graduate, and my niece is also a graduate. She's in medical school in Pikeville. I'm just really impressed with the president. And I just wanted to say, keep up the good work. Personable, down to earth, and yet you're a wise guy. And I don't mean that in a detrimental sense. You're a wise man.
Well, you're very kind. And thank you.
well, you're welcome. And keep up the good work.
Thank you, Lorna. And I thank you and your family for being such dedicated, loyal alumni. You've got, it sounds like you've got thick maroon blood in your veins, so we appreciate that very much.
Absolutely.
Go Colonels.
Thanks for calling, Lorna.
My mom had season's tickets on the 50-yard line at the stadium.
All right, Lorna, thank you so much. We are going to need to move on because we need to wrap up the program. We're grateful.
I understand.
We're grateful for your call.
Thank you.
800-620. Well, let's not give out the phone number again. That's just almost by reflex to repeat. I'll fall into fundraising mode before I, if I don't stop myself. President Michael Benson, thank you so much for taking the time to be with us during this interesting and somewhat challenging week. But I guess things can return to normal on Monday.
We hope so. And thanks for having me, John. And again, a shout out to our campus community for rallying, and hope to see everybody back on campus, which will be much more navigable and we hope warmer on Monday morning.
And thanks to our WEKU Eastern Standard producers, Logan Riley and Richard Turner, who helped put today's program together. A reminder, the show will be available online later today, as a matter of fact, within the next hour or two, on our website at weku.fm, and we'll repeat Sunday evening at 6 o'clock. We're interested in hearing from you at any time with your comments, topic, and guest suggestions, weku eastern standard@gmail.com. For WEKU and Eastern Standard, I'm John Hingsbergen.